Good morning, everyone. What would you say if you asked God a question? I mean, if you were to ask God any question, what would you say? I know one that I would ask God. I would just simply say, God, what really matters to you? That's one of the questions I would want to ask him. And I do ask him quite often. In fact, through prayer, I say, Lord, what is it that matters to you? What is it that is important to you? It's really kind of a great question for us as Christians to ask, and I'm sure you have asked it before in the journey that we call this journey Christianity. But it's a great question, you know. But I kind of, as I read Scripture, I think that there's two categories, and really what God wants, two things that if we could boil the entire Scripture down to, there's two different things that God is asking us, and really what matters to Him. The first one I want to talk about today. The second one we're going to talk about next week. But the first one is really something I really want to really key in on this morning and saying, what is it that really matters to God? So if you study the Bible, and like I said before, you'll discover that God is in an all-out search for two different distinct kind of people. He's in an all-out search. If you read the Bible from cover to cover, you'll find that it pictures God in search mode, if you will. God is looking, God is searching for people in two different categories. He's on this intense and intent search, trying to find people who will be willing to work with them. And that first one that I want to talk about today is he's looking for people who are fully committed to him. He's looking for people who are fully committed, that people who are all in, if you will, like people who are fully committed. I want to explain to this in a minute. It's a great passage. It's a great story found in the Old Testament. We're finding ourselves today in 2 Chronicles, and we're going to be talking in 2 Chronicles chapter 14 today. For the next couple of weeks, we're going to be in 2 Chronicles. So if you'd like to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 14, we'll be in verse 2 through 14. See, what this story is all about is that an Old Testament king, he was the king of Israel named Asa. He came under attack from the neighbor to his north, and he was a seasoned king. He has been at war and battled plenty of times before. And yet, his strategy was to do the best that he could to arrange his army, his troops, tactically. And then one thing that set him apart, though, was that he prayed to God, he was honoring God, and he was fully committed to God. And so God always showed up when Asa went to battle, when he would go to war. God always showed up, and he had Asa's back, so to speak, in the nation of Israel at that time. And so one time Asa was attacked by a vastly superior force from Ethiopia. We're going to read about it in just a minute. In customary fashion, of course, he arrayed his troops and he prayed. He simply said, God, I need your help. I need your help during this time. So let's pick it up. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verses 2 through 14. It's quite lengthy, but I want to just illustrate the story this morning. Verse 2, as Asa did what was pleasing and good in the sight of the Lord, his God. He removed foreign altars and pagan shrines, and he smashed the sacred pillars and cut down the Asherah poles. He commanded the people of Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their ancestors, and to obey his law and commands. Asa also removed pagan shrines as well as the incense altars from every one of Judah's towns. So Asa's kingdom enjoyed a period of peace. During those peaceful years, he was able to build up the fortified towns through Judah. No one tried to make war against him at this time, for the Lord was giving him rest from his enemies. Verse 7. Asa told the people of Judah, let's build towns and fortify them with walls, towers, and gates, and bars. The land is still ours because we sought the Lord our God, and he has given us peace on every side. So they went ahead with these projects and brought them to completion. King Asa had an army of 300,000 warriors from the tribe of Judah, armed with large shields and spears. He also had an army of 280,000 warriors from the tribe of Benjamin, armed with small shields and bows. Both armies were composed of well-trained fighting men. Verse 9. Once an Ethiopian named Zerah attacked Judah with an army of 1 million men and 300 chariots. They advanced to the town of Maresa, and so Asa deployed his armies for battle in the valley of the north. Then Asa cried out, to the Lord his God. O Lord, no one but you can help the powerless against the mighty. Help us, O Lord our God, for we trust in you alone. It is in your name that we have come against this vast horde. O Lord, you are our God, and do not let mere men prevail against you. Verse 12. So the Lord defeated the Ethiopians in the presence of Asa and the army of Judah, and the enemy fled. Verse 13, Asa and his army pursued them as far as Gerar, and so many Ethiopians fell that they were unable to rally. They were destroyed by the Lord and his army, and the army of Judah carried off a vast amount of plunder. While they were at Gerar, they attacked all of the towns in that area, and terror from the Lord came upon the people there. As a result, a vast amount of plunder was taken from these towns too. They also attacked the camps of herdsmen and captured many sheep, goats, camels, before they are finally returning to Jerusalem. So, a great story. A great story of victory. A great story of battle that King Asa, he simply cried out to the Lord and said, Lord, we need your help. We need you. The key verse here is verse 11. It's a simple prayer. Oh Lord, no one but you can help the powerless against the mighty. A million men, a million soldiers he went up against. And so King Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And in turn, God fought the battle for him. You see, I don't know, but I want to make sure that we grab a hold of today's theme. I want to understand that God is looking for fully committed people, fully committed Christians, because he wants us to rely upon him. And we truly do need to rely upon him. See, I remember in elementary school, you have recess time, right? And recess is just a crazy, crazy thing. Well, I remember, I was in fourth grade, and there was this kid named Scott. He would continually bully me. You see, I knew what bullying was before bullying was truly bullying. It happened all the time. You and I both know that bullying takes place, and it took place back when I was a kid too. And so thinking about those days, he was bullying me. He was threatening to fight. He's like, I'm gonna beat you up. And I was scared. You see, because this kid was huge. He was a fourth grader that probably should have been in sixth grade, if you know what I mean. He kind of failed a couple of grades, and for some reason he wanted to kick my butt, and I don't know why. So as I was thinking and I was scared to death, I was like, this guy is going to just kill me. As I was praying, I said, God, I need your help here. I know I can't fight this kid. I know I won't even win. In fact, he's going to kill me. I met God that day on that recess, that elementary school recess playground. So as Scott came up to me, cursing, of course, and saying, I'm going to beat you up, he threw the first punch. He threw the first punch, a big roundhouse punch, and something in me just decided that I needed to duck right then and there. And so I ducked his punch. I did something. I know that God helped me, because it was like something happened from that time on. The bell rang instantly. Recess was over. I ran, and I was saved from a beatdown from this bully. I tell you that story because that was the first time I really prayed to God. God, help me. I need your help. That was one of the first times that I sincerely thought I was going to die. And I sincerely prayed to the Lord. I said, God, this kid's going to beat me down if you don't interfere. And so I believe, and as that little fourth grader, I knew that God helped me that day. I knew it. I knew that God caused me to duck that punch. I mean, he would have knocked me clear into next Tuesday, and I don't know what happened, but I ducked, and that bell rang right away. And so I give the credit to God, of course, even as a little fourth grader, as this bully was coming after me. But my point is today is that how many times do we call upon the Lord in times of need, in times of trouble, in times of anguish and stress? I would encourage you today, as we think about God is looking for fully committed people that are going to rely upon him for each and every one of our needs. And so today, as we think of this prayer that King Asa prayed, O Lord, no one but you can help the powerless against the mighty. Help us, O Lord our God, for we trust in you alone. I want you to take some time right now. I want you to just pray that prayer. Think about that short little prayer that king had prayed, "O Lord, none but you can help the powerless against the mighty. Help me, O Lord, for I trust in you alone." Pray that prayer really, really quick with me, would you? So, several years later, something had changed. Something in the king's heart had completely changed. I mean, after praying this prayer, after truly relying on God to help him defeat and fight the battles and defeat his enemies, something changed. It was he was older. Some would say he's more wise and into his kingship, if you will. And so as we look into 2 Chronicles, I want you to turn, if you will, to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. And a little bit later, we find King Asa a little bit older in years, a little more wise, maybe not so spiritually wise. But you see, as he is more old and or older and more established, so when the king, another king from the north attacked him, Asa's reluctant to go into battle at this point. You see, another country came in from the north, and he's thinking, well, maybe we don't need to be doing this right now. I'm not sure. He's got more to lose. He's the king. He's got riches and plunder and livestock and armies, and you see, he's got more to lose. And so as he thinks about it, so in this time, in his conservative days, instead of going into battle, he takes money from his treasury. Now catch this. He takes money from the bank, his own plunder, and you see, he pays the king of Syria to attack his rival from the eastern flank. That way, Asa risks nothing. So I want to read this in chapter 16, in verses 2 to 3. It says this: Asa responded by removing the silver and gold from the treasuries of the temple of the Lord and the royal place. He sent it to the king Ben-Hadad of Aram, who was ruling in Damascus, along with this message. He said this: "Let there be a treaty between you and me, like the one between your father and my father. See, I'm sending you silver and gold. Break your treaty with King Baasha of Israel, so that he will leave me alone." You see, the king simply is paying off somebody else to say, "Listen, I don't want to deal with this. I may be a little nervous about this battle. Let me just pay you to fight my battle for me." I think that's pretty interesting. So what happens, and as we read on, God obviously doesn't like this. God is displeased with the king at this point, because he's thinking, wait a minute, are you fully committed to me? Are you fully trusting in me? Or do you trust in your money? Do you trust in your military strength? Do you trust in all of the wealth that you have built up? No, do you truly trust me? Or are you pawning this off on another kingdom? Are you paying somebody off to say, can you please go fight with them? Because I really don't trust that God's going to win this battle for us at this time. See, God was watching closely to see if King Asa was fully committed to him. You know, it's this other hostile king that's coming in, and so God sends this prophet called Hanani. And here's what happened. I'm going to be reading in chapter 16, verses 7 through 9. At that time, Hanani, the seer, or the prophet, came to Asa and told him, "Because you've put your trust in the king of Aram instead of the Lord your God, you missed your chance to destroy the army, the king of Aram. Don't you remember what happened to the Ethiopians and Libyans and their vast army with all of their chariots and charioteers? At that time, you relied on the Lord, and he handed them over to you. The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. What a fool you've been. From now on, you will be at war." You see, this prophet simply saying, you didn't trust me, so the blessing of God now is being released from your kingdom. That's huge. That's absolutely huge. This was a chance for Asa to do good and express faith again, even in later on in years, to be fully committed to God and prove it yet again. How many times have we done that in our lives? Early on when we're Christians, you know, we accept Jesus into our life, and God is so fresh and so new. And we'd do anything. I remember as a new Christian myself, I would want to take on the entire world. And say, I want to get everybody saved. I want to just bring tons of people with me to heaven. Later on, as we get older, as we get wiser, so to speak, things change. Maybe our passions change. Our reliance upon God becomes more reliance upon ourselves, upon our gifts, upon our own abilities. You see, people of God, God is searching for people. I love that verse, the eyes of the Lord, verse 9, search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are what? Fully committed to Him. You see, so Asa was in a predicament. He was kind of like, oh man, now what? A prophet of the Lord just told me that I will be at war. You see, God's looking for committed people. You see, this is the first of the kind that I want to talk about, of two kinds of people. Next week, we're going to talk about the second. But the first is people being fully committed to Him. On my cell phone, I've got on my wallpaper, my front page, if you will, on my cell phone, it simply says, someone somewhere is depending on you to do what God has called you to do. Think about that. I have it on my phone because every time I open my phone, it reminds me to be who God has called me to be. Someone somewhere is depending on you today to do what God has called you to do. And that's a great reminder for all of us. It's an excellent reminder. What has God called you to do? What has God elevated you to do? What has He gifted you to do? Because someone somewhere is depending on you to do what God has called you to do. In other words, be fully committed to Him. Be fully committed to Jesus. You know, we want to be a people that are absolutely invested in what God has for us. So, the part of the story is for all of us. It's a great challenge for you and for me as well. It's that part where we have to say, well, I've been a Christian for 20 years, 30 years. And are we truly still fully committed to Him? Or are we kind of just backing off and looking at former days? I've been caught doing that before. I don't know about you, but looking backwards in the rearview mirror of your life and say, oh, remember when the church did this and I was such a good Christian, and you hold on to those great days, but I want to live in today. I want to be fully committed to Him today and say, guess what happened yesterday? Guess what's going on in my life right now, at this very moment? What does it mean for you today to be fully committed? What are you facing today that maybe you are relying on your own strength? Life is weird, I know. Things are going on in our world today that we're potentially facing joblessness, hopelessness, as we talked about last week. We're facing health situations. And what happens if you lost it all today? Now, I'm not trying to be insensitive, but I'm just really trying to figure out that, hey, there's something here for us to think about. Are we fully committed to God? Are we fully facing situations that are in our lives that could be catastrophic? Is there an army? Is there a battle coming against you today that you're absolutely fearful in? Are you fully committed? And would you pray that prayer? Oh Lord, none but You can help me. The powerless against this mighty, mighty thing. Help us, O Lord our God, for we trust in You alone. Dighton Wesleyan Church, I want to pray that prayer. I want you to not fear any longer. I want you to be a faith-filled person that's fully committed to Him. Yes, we have to be careful. Yes, we have to use common sense. Yes, there's things that we do that help to protect us from things that are uncontrollable. But ultimately, church, ultimately we have trust and faith in the Almighty God. So that's our challenge today. Our thought is this, is that we are fully committed to Him, and that no matter what comes our way, no matter what the future holds, no matter what fear you may be wrapped up in this morning, pray the prayer. God, no one but You can help us. I truly believe that. I hope you do too. No one can help us except God. And so I trust that you pray this prayer again today. Get around with your family and let's just pray that together, that God, we're powerless against virus. We're powerless against attack from anything. We're powerless against anything that comes our way except for You, God. And so let's be fully committed followers. Let's be fully committed all in and seeking God this morning.